Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. An air quality alert issued for all of Massachusetts has been extended until at least midnight tonight for parts of Worcester, Middlesex, and Essex counties by the Massachusetts Department of Environmental Protection. This after smoke from wildfires on the West Coast and Canada turned the sun red last night and made outdoor activities iffy for some sensitive groups, such as those with asthma or older adults. It may seem incredible that you can smell burning wood from thousands of miles away and see the smoke above your house, but that's what happened. So what does it mean for weather, climate, health? John Levy is a professor of environmental health at Boston University's School of Public Health. John, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks so much for having me here.
All right, the first question, how does smoke from a fire that is thousands of miles away get here?
So it does seem incredible, but we see this happen actually quite frequently. The emissions from the smoke get up into the upper atmosphere, and then they can follow the jet stream and prevailing winds and travel quite some distance. You may remember last summer we actually had episodes where dust storms in the Sahara were affecting air quality across the U.S. The wind blew halfway around the world. We've certainly seen wildfires affecting us from the West Coast. We even had wildfires in Siberia a few years ago that affected our air quality. So once it gets up in the upper atmosphere, it can travel quite a long distance. And the question is just whether it zips by us or comes down to ground level and can affect what we breathe in and affect our health.
So does that mean that it's not necessarily indicative of the intensity of the fires?
It's a combination. I mean, larger and more intense fires will certainly give you more emissions and higher concentrations. A lot of it just depends on which way the wind is blowing and what the atmospheric conditions are. One day it could head out into the ocean or head in another direction. And in recent days, obviously, the East Coast has really been kind of the target, and the winds have blown things right in our direction.
So while it seems kind of freaky, to use a colloquialism, are you suggesting that perhaps it's not generally necessarily a problem for this to happen unless certain conditions are met? Or is it always problematic when you've got smoke from fires like this coming across communities?
Well, it's certainly problematic. And when you have smoke and wildfires at this magnitude, it's going to affect somebody. So it may not affect us on one occasion, but it's going to affect somebody else. Certainly the populations living near the wildfires receive a very heavy burden from that and substantial air quality effects. But those effects, as we've seen, can spread over thousands of miles and affect different populations in different locales. So as we see these wildfires increase in intensity and in frequency, you know, there are a number of us both close to the fires and further downwind that are going to continue to be affected.
I can't even imagine what it might be like near the fires. But let's talk about how much smoke is in the air here. How do we measure that? Like, what is it that we count to know that there's a lot of smoke in the air? And what tips us into the danger zone from an air quality standpoint?
So the monitors that are followed, at least through the Department of Environmental Protection, are set out in a number of area communities. They measure multiple pollutants. Fine particulate matter, or PM2.5, is the one that really has been triggered the most by these wildfires and the one that has been, you know, leading us to be concerned about potential health effects. And so we have, again, monitors everywhere that are measuring those. And when levels get into a range of concern, that's what gets these report outs to restrict outdoor activities and engage in other protective measures.
And so what would a normal number be, and what's the number we're looking at right now?
It certainly depends where you are. Obviously, communities have other sources of particulate matter air pollution, but in general, in Massachusetts, we're often in the single digits of micrograms per cubic meter. So we're maybe at, you know, 7, 8, 9 on a typical day. You know, numbers were getting appreciably higher than that in recent days. You know, I don't know the numbers offhand, but certainly well higher than that and at a level that would trigger concern.
So I feel like one of the obvious next questions, John, is how much of this is due to climate change, both the fires and the ability of these byproducts reaching all the way here and compounding, air that you say already has potentially other particulate matter in it. And I do want to note right now in Boston, that number is 81.
Okay. Yeah. So there's, clearly at a level of concern. And this does connect with climate change in a few different ways. So as I mentioned, probably the most obvious one is with climate change, you get more frequent and more intense wildfires. And so that is going to trigger these kinds of episodes. You know, certainly we've seen record heat in the Pacific Northwest in recent weeks and months, severe drought in the West, and those all create the conditions for more wildfires. So as the climate changes, we're going to see this happening more often. You know, the other things that can happen in a warming climate is you get the conditions that create more air pollution. So for example, at higher temperatures, you get more ozone formation that tends to form on hot and humid days. Some of the other precursors of fine particulate matter, these are sort of things that form PM2.5 in the atmosphere, also are emitted more at higher temperatures. So we raise the temperatures here in Massachusetts, we create conditions for more of these air pollutants to form. You know, there's also just these complicated feedback loops where some researchers at BU showed that forest fires themselves actually contribute to more climate change by reducing our ability to store carbon. So climate change gives you the forest fires actually then give you more climate change.
You know, I'm aware that, we already know, for example, asthma rates tend to be higher in areas that meet the criteria for being environmental justice zones. You're talking about a cycle here that can compound those factors. How do people protect themselves today? Who's at risk? And especially for those still under this advisory till midnight tonight, people in parts of Worcester, Middlesex, Essex counties, what precautions should people most at risk take?
Yeah, so those who are most at risk are typically, people who might be susceptible to respiratory or cardiovascular effects. So kids with asthma are of concern, people with cardiovascular disease who've had a previous heart attack. You know, there's groups of people that the EPA designate as of concern for air pollution. Certainly avoiding outdoor exercise if you're in one of those groups makes good sense. But something else you could do that's quite important are actually a lot of the measures we've been taking to address COVID can help you with this kind of wildfire air pollution. So wearing a mask outdoors can actually help reduce your exposure. Cloth face masks don't do quite as much as an N95, but they do something, and an N95 does quite a bit more. And using something like a portable HEPA filter in your home, which again some people have done or schools and other businesses have done to reduce COVID risk, that actually can bring down the level of particulate air pollution quite a bit. So you can take a lot of actions kind of in your home and on your person, and it's actually good for COVID exposure risk and good for air pollution risk as well.
Over the next few weeks, do you expect us to see more of this, John?
Yeah, unfortunately, I think this is going to come and go as the weather shifts. It might be good for one day, and then it might pick up again, on another day. And so I think we're going to see this, certainly in the days and weeks to come, and certainly in other summers to come. So this is unfortunately going to be probably a prevailing concern that we're going to have to keep our eye on.
Okay, that is John Levy, a professor of environmental health at Boston University's School of Public Health. We had a lot of questions there, John. Thank you for joining us to help answer them.
Thanks for having me here. Take care.